Empower Radio presents Art as Worship with Vanessa Lowry.
Welcome to Art as Worship. Each week we feature stories of artists and explore their process of creation. I'm your host, Vanessa Lowry, and I'm thankful that you're joining me. On this show, I talk with artists of various faiths, working in a wide range of mediums, on the common theme of how they use inspiration and creativity as an expression of their spirituality. Learn how their art is an expression of their own connection to however they name God, Jehovah, Allah, Source, the Universe, the Great Mystery, or something else. My hope is that these stories will inspire your creative efforts and your own spiritual expression. My guest today is Brandon Tutman. Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, Brandon was educated at Southern Polytechnic in architecture. In 2005, Tutman embarked on an architectural course and tour through Europe that paved the road for a winding and blossoming career. After briefly practicing architecture, Brandon took the opportunity from a downward economy to leave his first love and embrace what has been his guilty pleasure of all pleasures, fashion. If architecture is the art in which we dwell, then clothing is the art in which we function. 2011 introduced the fashion world to Brandon Tutman through the boutique doors of Ralph Lauren. Now Tutman heads up the Neiman Marcus Atlanta Ralph Lauren boutique, which also, while also utilizing the many other labels within Neiman Marcus to style his clients. Brandon's foundation in architecture has given him the platform to understand each client's structure and dress them for each occasion as a concept. Welcome, Brandon.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here.
You know, I love that your bio talks about how architecture and fashion have a similar function, a different function, but a similar concept. And I hadn't really thought of that. Can you describe that a little bit more?
When you look at architecture, it's a built form. It's something that we see go out. We walk in it every day. We work in it. We see it as we drive by. Our clothing's very similar. I mean, we put our bodies in it. So we feel instead of we're seeing, we feel proud, we feel tall, we dress up for work, we perform better. So our clothing is an art in which we literally put our bodies within and not just work within and touch, but we talk in our clothing, we scream, we get loud and mad, and you know, our clothing kind of gives us attitude, if you will.
So I think that's really interesting about how our clothing can kind of set the tone for our day or set the tone for what we're doing right now.
Yes. I had a conversation with someone a while back, and it was about the White House. Clinton removed where everyone had to wear shirt and tie. And I thought this was this great idea. And then, you know, older generations that I was having this conversation with said, well, no, you know, you dress up for a reason when you go to work. You perform better. This is our White House. They lead our country and partly the world. And so, you know, I thought about that. You know, the days that I'm more dressed, I'm a little bit more uptight, but you're sharp, you're keen, you're functioning. When you go out to a club, I mean, that's a reason why you say that's a club dress. It's a shorter dress. You feel sexy. You feel the music. You feel flirty. You know, it all has kind of a direct production as to how we're going to act and function throughout that day, I believe.
So I'm curious how has fashion always been an interest of yours, or is this something that you just kind of came into as you got older?
Actually, it's always been something that I was aware of. I didn't realize that I wanted to ever make a career out of it, but when I think back when I was a child, I still remember very vividly my first day of school. And what was cool then was Superman for me. And so I remember I wanted a Superman t-shirt to wear, and my mom got me a Superman lunchbox. And, you know, I felt like Superman going into something I didn't really understand, but that gave me the courage to go to school. I had heard about school. I knew I'd be learning, but I didn't really know what it was. When you're a three-year-old, four-year-old child, that's a pretty big thing. I mean, it's the next biggest event in your life other than being born, really, and learning how to walk. And so, you know, that gave me courage. So obviously I have my Superman outfit on when I go into something that I don't really know what it's going to be like. If it's a new job, when I first landed in Europe, or, you know, when I first went to college even, you know, that's kind of how you armor yourself. It's your shield, if you will. And other times, like today, you want to be more relaxed. It's like, you know what, I'll wear my favorite pair of jeans and my favorite blazer, and, you know, I'll feel sharp, but I feel relaxed and more casual and kind of one within myself. You know, I feel this is me. This is my uniform right now.
I think that's awesome, and I love that idea of not only the look of our clothes, but also the memories we have associated with our clothes and how that can give us strength and how that can give us inspiration.
Yes, it really does. And even further than that, a lot of people relate to certain labels in that same fashion. You know, they say, oh, if I'm wearing a Gucci dress, everyone's going to look at me. Well, no one really looks at you and says, unless you know what was on the runway that season, she's in a Gucci dress. You know, it's kind of what we know. It's all in our attitude. Some people need to buy the larger names. Others don't. If you have on a $200 dress that fits you well, you'll be just as confident if you're in a $10,000 dress that fits you well. So I find it almost comical sometimes when I'm working with clients to see what they respond to the best. I have people who think that, oh, I can only wear Chanel and all these European designers. And I'll say, just wait here. Let me just try this for me. Let me see how this. And they love it because it fits well. I mean, they make them feel great. And they'll go, wait a minute, how much is this? It's only $300. And surprise, you know, everything you spend. Now, I would love for them to spend thousands on everything, but I think it's very funny how we associate certain things and colors and what we feel is the norm to how we are going to act when it's not always that case.
You know, I love how artists see things differently than other people do. And it sounds like that's the way you work with your clients, is you see things for them that they're not able to see for themselves. Why do you think that is? Why do you think you're able to do that?
It's easier to look from someone else's eyes. You know, when someone else is looking at you, they see the way the rest of the world sees you. We don't see ourselves in that same way. So when someone comes to me, I have one client. She's an amazing, amazing, accomplished woman. She unfortunately lost her husband 2 or 3 years ago, and she has rebounded herself, and she's successful in her career. She works out. She has a trainer. She has an amazing body. She thinks she's fat, though. I put her in so many things, and, you know, it's a common age. Oh, it's just make me look fat. And, you know, we giggle, we brush it off. And, you know, one day I was just sitting in the fitting room with her and I said, why do you think this makes you look fat? I mean, you have not an ounce of extra fat on your body. You're contoured and concaved and convexed everywhere. Women pay to have a body like yours. You pay thousands a year probably for your trainers and gym memberships. And you have this discipline. You get up and you go to the gym every day. You know, and it's this thing that was her crutch. To ask and to be reassured constantly that she didn't look fat was her crutch, and she needed to hear that. And I'm like, I don't need to tell you, you know. And if you walk in a room in this dress and, you know, no, not everyone can wear this. And, you know, so that's your knowing that you don't look fat and you have so much confidence. Why do you need this crutch? And, you know, we keep talking and then, you know, she's crying. And then, you know, essentially we get to, you know, from when she lost her late husband. He never told her that she didn't look fat.
Oh.
So it was something that she was missing, you know. Whether she looked fat or not, she kind of had to determine that herself. And so she's still just kind of, it's, I act as a therapist sometimes, you know, it's funny, but that's how we relate. And, you know, you get people to open up and then they're more comfortable to wear things that they haven't before. And, you know, it's, this clothing is becomes this art that just becomes alive because they walk differently. Their shoulders are higher and back, and you see them just bloom. It's really interesting.
Well, I've really, over the last probably week, I keep coming across these quotes and these stories about how our perceptions really dictate our reality. You know, the reality is one thing. It's not really just one thing. You know, we perceive something, and it becomes our reality, even though everyone else perceives it differently.
Mm-hmm.
So, at what point did you start perceiving yourself as an artist?
I always have thought creatively. Even when I was a kid, you know, I would spend hours in my room. I didn't go outside. I didn't play with others a lot. I would just draw, and I wasn't the best artist. And I would build with my Legos, and I would play with, you know, whatever in the house I could find to build something up. So when I was in high school, you know, I remember spending one of my spring breaks painting our foyer because we had looked at all these wallpapers. My mother bought a new house. We couldn't decide on anything. I was like, oh, I like with this element of that one and that element of this one. I said, you know what? I'm going to paint the freaking thing on the wall. So that's what I did. Everyone else is in Panama or wherever, the beach, and I'm spent my entire spring break painting. And so I knew I always had that kind of inert gift to always want to draw and just put art on something. I never really was a structure maker or things like that, but I love to just clad things, if you will. even in architecture school. I love the design years of it. Hated the structural elements and integrity in HVAC. You know, that wasn't me. I just wanted to make the building, it sounds cheesy, but I wanted to make it pretty.
Mm-hmm,
and right. Architecture, I mean, it's much more involved than that. You can't move within a building if it's not pretty. I mean, it won't have that same function. You know, you've got to go and the space has to work correctly and it all has to incorporate together. And I did an urban development program in Italy. And, you know, we spent all this time, you study how the people move and what they do and how they function and what their daily lives entail before you can design for it. The function and the attitude of the space is first, how someone's going to work with it. And then you add in your elements to make it aesthetically gorgeous.
So I would think that the function of the space would vary depending on the culture of the country as well as the complexity of how many people are there and how many people
very
use the
much,
space and that kind of thing.
Very much so. So, you know, a small fishing town on Lake Como is not going to operate the same as Atlanta,
right,
if you will. We can build a municipal building, but it's going to be completely different. Our municipal buildings have parking lots and, you know, things, you know, the car, it seems, is what it's designed for more than the actual function of the building. When you go overseas, it's so much more calm and so closer to the root of what its actual function and purpose is to be. So you can really see architecture for what it's worth. You can hear as well, but you can walk up and experience the process of going into a building a lot more and not coming across this vast parking lot and, you know, a quick little stair and a foyer and you're in the building. You get to see and walk up this long walkway and see the columns and see the mass of the structure. And you go in and you feel the integrity of the marble, you know, that you're surrounded by. And that's what, you aren't going to walk into that courthouse and not act anything less than professional because that building is so strong. And we do different forms. We do a lot of glass and steel, and in the same case in Europe, but it's just more, when you look at traditional architecture, it just makes you walk in and you go, wow, you know. And again, with the clothing, same thing. You know, I want my clients to walk into whatever event, whatever function, if it's just I need something to run around in or I'm going on this trip, I ask them, I say, how do you see yourself moving through this space? Do you want to be noticed? Do you want to blend in? You don't always have to be noticed, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can wear jeans and a black t-shirt. If it's a great-fitting pair of jeans and an awesome black t-shirt, you look great.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, and I am curious because it sounds like you always have a lot of ideas going, that you've had a lot of interests and you've done a lot of different things. So how do you decide which ideas you're going to grab onto and pursue and which ideas are not ready to move forward with right now?
You kind of get a gut feeling. When I initially left architecture, I didn't really know which direction I wanted to take, how to get into fashion. And I thought it was going to be, oh, I'll become a blogger. And I'm going, not very logical, you know, and I can still do a blog, but I can't really eat off of that. So I ended up into sales. And that's when my eyes kind of opened to the different complex layers of different clients and things that were going on that my eyes were not open to. So I think for me, everything kind of presents itself in due time. Once I've got things started, then I say, okay, now I need to grow this more. I need to do something. I need to put my neck out there and take another chance. And it's a little scary at first, and I'm okay with that because you don't ever succeed. You don't ever grow if you don't take that chance. And so at times when I feel stagnant, that's when I start brainstorming. And I've learned over the years, say, oh, all the times we say, if only, or what if, or this would make my life easier, or her life easier. I'm now trying to turn that what if into action.
Well, and I love in your bio that you have the phrase of you took the opportunity of a downward economy. And I think that has been a gift for a lot of people, that they can try things that they might not have tried before and that they can step into that creativity,
yes,
that they were afraid to because they thought it didn't have any security.
The safety net is gone for a lot of people, and it's either you sink or you swim. And for me, it was...
Or you fly.
Exactly. You know, I was sitting in my cubicle one day and I looked around and said, okay, I don't have a bad life. I was laid off from one job and then I went to another. And I said, I don't see myself doing this for the rest of my life. This was not my calling. This was not what I envisioned. And I took that chance of, you know, now's the time to fail if I'm going to fail. You know, I can blame it on whatever, but now's that chance. And I took a chance, and, you know, I thank God every day that I did, because I'm not one of those people that hops out of bed as soon as the alarm clock goes off every morning because I love my job, but I can't say I love what I do. You know, we go, and I'm a social person, we go to all these functions and parties, and it's glamorous in some aspects, but it's still work. But I love what I do. I love being around people. I love creating. And if I have one client that walks into a gala and, you know, she feels amazing, the 10 weeks where it's awful makes it so worth it. You know, I got a text message just this weekend of a client just said, "You rock. I love my dress." And I'm thinking, that's why I do this. That's why I get up. Even if I never have the respect of anyone else again, that is what I love.
So as soon as you stepped into this fashion as a career, did it feel like the right place for you, or did you have to kind of get used to that?
No, it was perfect. I mean, even when I told my friends what I was doing, they go, "Oh, that's so you." And, you know, it was kind of like one of those things I ask myself often, why didn't I do this sooner?
So you were like the last one to know this was so you.
It was, and it's like everything fits in. It's like I was meant to do it. I didn't know I was going to do it. But everything came together to where this worked out perfectly. My education has built the perfect foundation. My life experiences have been just so congruent with what I'm doing now. You know, it's like I never really skipped a beat when I transitioned into it.
So how has this art of fashion affected your spiritual evolution, or how has your spiritual evolution affected your art?
It has. I would say the job has affected it the most. I've learned to kind of have some direction in life, but definitely, you know, I lost my mother when I was 20, and, you know, it was kind of like I felt I was doing what she would have wanted me to do by going on into architecture. I was in college when she passed. And so, you know, I grew up a little bit, and so I learned to trust my instincts. And, you know, the fact that I'm here, I look back into what I've done and say, you know, you got to have faith, because if I didn't take that chance, I never would have grown. I never would have been here. I never would have been happy. I would have been living life to someone else's expectations. I never would have known what I was fully capable of. And, you know, I wouldn't have been successful at this if I hadn't taken that chance, if there wasn't some higher being, if you will, protecting me, watching over me, guiding me into where I should be. And I don't think this is my last chapter. You know, I definitely see myself doing this until God or whomever sees that there's another road for me to take, another door will open. And that's what I love about it, because there are so many doors. I'm already saying, oh, in 10 years, I might want to be a buyer, or, you know, who knows, I'll be like Ken Downing, our fashion director. You just never know. There's always some other option. And any possibility I've looked at, I absolutely love the idea of it.
So how has taking this step with your intuition and stepping into this gut instinct, how do you think that'll affect future times that you get that impulse to step forward?
It's going to give me a lot of feel. Before, I was very hesitant to do things, and now, again, I'm like, why limit myself? And I don't want to become a jack of all trades and master of none, but I definitely want to keep evolving and make each thing I do a stepping stone. For me, there is no such thing as retirement, because I never want to stop.
Well, and sometimes we don't really know where the path is going to lead until we start down a path, and then we see a little side step that we didn't even see from the beginning of the path.
Of course, and I'm very much a child in some aspects, because I see sparkly, shiny things, and, you know, I want to go and try that, and I often have to keep myself very focused, because I don't really think it's ADD, but I will start so many little projects that I have to say, What do we initially attempt here? And let's do that. And because I want to do it all. And there's never enough. You know, I can never do enough. I can never touch enough people or, you know, plan enough events. It's just I always want to keep going.
Well, and it sounds like when you work with a client one-on-one that there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes other than just saying, oh, I think this will look good on you. That there's a lot of questions that you ask and a lot of digging that you do to really find out what's going on with them. So is there a process that you have of how you do that with each person?
There is. I let the person talk the most. And if they're not talking, that's when I have to start working. The most difficult client for me is the one who doesn't open up, because I really don't know what they're like or what they're going for. And we get the best client, honestly, is someone who doesn't always buy, but they tell me so much and we connect so well. I can even sometimes send them somewhere and say, you know what, we don't have what you're looking for. Go here. I've already seen it. Or, you know, the person that opens up and, you know, I'll start with, okay, you're mother of the bride. What's a bride like? Where's the wedding? When's the wedding? Are you happy about this wedding? Because a lot of times the parents aren't. And then the number one question that, you know, everyone clenches up when I ask them, okay, are you truly planning your wedding or are you letting them plan theirs?
Right.
Because it's, you have to become a psychiatrist sometimes. You just have to do so much digging. The product's there. It's either there or it's not. You know, I can work with what's on the floor. We can order things. But I have to figure out what that client needs and wants. I have one client now. She tried on a dress that she's going to a wedding. She absolutely loved it. We've done alterations. She's come back in. It fits perfectly, but she hates the dress.
Oh, really?
I'm in like a four-day process of finding out why she hates this dress.
Because she loved it at first.
She loved it at first. What was different? It wasn't the lighting that was that different. We're in the same room. So, you know, it's just kind of battling with people. And sometimes they don't open up. Sometimes it's so personal or so close to their heart that they can't just tell me, you know, if I especially haven't built this years of relationships with them. But, you know, I have to find out why her mood changed so much. Because when she's in that dress, she didn't even stand the same way she did when she first put it on. Her shoulders are hunched forward and over, and, you know, she's kind of waning back and forth to side to side. I'm like, she was so confident, and, you know, she did little poses in the dress before and just say, oh, if we just nipped it in here and a little bit there, you know, it is a night and day issue or change for her. So, and again, you know, and it doesn't happen overnight, but I'll keep in contact with her and we'll keep talking. And, you know, at the end of the day, if she wants to bring the dress back, of course, we'll return it. But I want to know why, because I build relationships. I don't just sell. I want them to come back to me because they trust me, because I know them and they know me. I'll know 2 years ago how she felt today. You know, it's like it'll be an evolution of our relationship.
So do you keep files on your clients with notes in it so that you can look back at what they like and what they don't like?
I really do. I mean, we keep the basic, you know, okay, she likes this label, not this color. She always wants sleeves. But for this particular client, for instance, I have a little just handwritten, jot it down on her profile. I have a huge book, which probably in 4 years I'll have four of them. But, you know, I'll jot down, okay, such and such happened that, you know, she didn't like this dress. So if we ever hit this issue again, you know, she loved something one moment, I'd say, okay, is this going on again? You know, why are we back here at square one? And birthdays even, you know, everyone likes to get a simple phone call from the person you don't expect to say happy birthday. I mean, how many of your salespeople call you on your birthday?
I have to say, a few years ago, I had made several purchases at Origins, and they called me on my birthday, and I was so impressed. It totally shocked me, and I was like, that is so smart.
Well, it's a little thing, because we can go anywhere to any retailer and buy something. My job is selling a bunch of wants. I don't sell needs. No one needs to have a Chanel dress. No one needs to have a Ralph Lauren gown. But I'm going to make that worth your while. I'm going to make you want to come back to me. I'm going to make you want to come back to our store because I appreciate that. I appreciate fashion just as much as the next person, if not more. I mean, I've made a career out of this. So, you know, I feel the need to really connect with my client more than just ringing them up at the cash register.
So I know that you said that architecture was something that you continued to pursue because you thought it would make your mom proud. Was your mom a fashionista? Did she enjoy fashion?
Not as much as I did. It's kind of been one of those things that just budded within me. And even when I was a child, you know, I was concerned of how I looked. I remember when I was very, very young, I was walking with my grandmother downtown and a bus drove by and the age old splashed a puddle up on me. And I wasn't hurt. I didn't mind being wet, but I didn't look great anymore, you know, and it was like, and I cried and I cried and I cried. And my grandmother said, he always cares about how he looks. And my mother, of course, she always dressed me well. So I just think it kind of, she planted that seed and just kept growing and growing unexpectedly into this big forest.
Well, and it's, I think it's really cool that we all have different gifts and we have different things that we look at. And so together we can expose each other to things that we might not have seen otherwise. So it's been cool for me to meet you because I never really thought about fashion in the way that we've been talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, most people think of art as a painting, you know, I've gone down to Miami with friends and family and, you know, we'll walk in a gallery off of Lincoln Road and, you know, they'll just buy three or four pieces because, you know, they think of this as art. You know, you have to have this hanging on your wall or this sculpture standing in your house that you dust off. And that's great. You know, I love those pieces, but art's also something that you put your body in. You know, it's something that you can have your attitude changed by and, you know, it just brings you to life. You know, we paint our faces, you know, makeup is art. Why can't our clothing be art? Hairstyles even play off of that as well. You know, I see certain skirts and I think of certain people and I call them and I say, you know, we just got this in. I can see you walking in this mall in this skirt. You know, it's because it's an image. You know, we think of Coke, we think of the red can and the silver writing. Why can't someone think of us as, oh, she's always so tailored or he's always in a gingham something? You know, it becomes our kind of icon, if you will.
Well, and I think a lot of people think of image as being kind of detached from your spirituality. But you know, just hearing the way you described it, it seems like it can bring out so much more of ourselves because it makes us feel confident in what we really are.
You know, the body is our temple. We want to take care of it inside. We want to take care of our skin. Why not put the best thing on our skin? You know, you don't necessarily have to think of clothing as something that's vain. And I think that's a conception that it hurts me because, you know, I tell people what I do and they go, oh, you work in retail. I'm like, it's much, much, much more than that. You know, I don't just clock in every day to go ring people up. You know, I enjoy what I do, and I run a business within a business even. And, you know, my business is of art. You know, I have to put those pieces together. I have to think. I get so crazy busy even. You know, it's not this little, oh, he just has a job. It's as much important as some CEO of a company because, you know, I'm telling people what you're going to wear. You're going to go out into the world and be seen in this. This is more important than our skin because no one's going to really see us naked than those the closest to us and our doctor.
Right.
So the whole world is seeing you in this. Why not look your best?
Absolutely. You know? So, Brandon, how do people get in touch with you if our listeners wanted to come and do a consultation with you and buy some clothes at Neiman Marcus?
Well, I am at the Neiman Marcus Atlanta store. I'm in the Ralph Lauren specialist there. And I guess I would give my phone number. They could always call me there if they wish. It is a work number. So that's 770-807-5629. Or they could feel free and email me at Brandon, Brandon, _ Tutman, Tutman, at NeimanMarcusStores.com.
Excellent. And I know that you had mentioned that you also are going to be later this year starting a blog.
I am. You know, I initially started with this idea of a blog to get into fashion, and I kind of went a different direction. And I said, why not? And I named it Stock, STOCC, and that stands for Seasonal Trends on Classic Collections. Because, again, beyond clothing even, I love architecture and I love home goods and I love to travel and I love wine. So it's basically going to be like a little conglomeration of all of my favorite things. I mean, Oprah has hers. Why can't I have mine?
Excellent.
And, you know, it'll be about trips that I take. And I have one planned this fall for Paris and London because Europe's just so dear to my heart. I feel more at home sometimes there than I do here in Atlanta even.
Well, and I think so later this year when our listeners are listening to the archives of the show, they could Google Brandon Tutman and,
please.
And your blog will probably come out.
Yes, and I'll definitely let you know when it is up and live.
That's awesome. Alrighty. That's awesome. So we've got just a couple minutes. Is there any one last thing that you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
Sure. I would just like to tell them that, you know, as you get dressed from day to day, again, think about the world and how they're going to view you through their eyes. You know, we see ourselves with our own insecurities and prop yourself up, coach yourself every day when you get dressed. You know, it's not just clothing you're putting on your body. It's your representation of you. You know, you always want to put your best foot forward. Put your best outfit for it.
Excellent. Brandon, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I truly enjoyed it.
It's been a great show, and thank you to our listeners. I welcome your suggestions or comments on this or any of our shows. You can find links to all of our shows on Empower Radio and on our website, artasworship.net. Please come and share your stories of artist worship on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/artasworship, or suggest an artist that we should interview. Listen in next week as we talk with another artist about their creative process and how it connects with their spiritual journey. May you have an inspired and creative week. Namaste.